for the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Amen. My Granny Hemmings had a saying, words of wisdom that have made their way through my dad to me. It's least said, soonest mended. Least said, soonest mended. What does this mean? It means that not all the words that swirl around in our minds need to be spoken. It means in moments of intense emotion, anger, frustration, bewilderment, say less while your emotions regulate and leave a little space for discernment. A little space to consider that what you're seeing might not be all that's going on. Once words are spoken aloud, they're out there, and it's difficult to counter the effects of words spoken rashly, out of heated emotion, or in reaction without the big picture in mind. Words can both hurt and heal. We've just heard the story of the anointing of Jesus at Bethany. It's easy to confuse today's account with those in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In the first two, an unnamed woman anoints Jesus' head at the house of Simon the leper during the last week of his life. In the third story, the scene happens at Simon the Pharisee's house, much earlier in Jesus' ministry. Jesus is eating supper when Mary Magdalene, often remembered as a sinner, comes into the room and stands weeping over his feet, then drops to the ground to kiss them and anoint them. The story that John brings us is different. This scene is in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, whom Jesus has just recently raised from the dead. Tensions are high, as this raising from the dead has certainly caught the attention of the authorities. Jesus is effectively on the most wanted list now. And what does he do with tensions rising as he continues to Jerusalem? We know that the timing of today's scene is only 6 days from Passover, when Jesus will be betrayed. So what does he do? He goes and stays with friends. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus knew who he was. They recognized him as Lord. And they were his friends. They loved him in his godliness and in his humanity. And he loved them. This is a powerful reminder of the human need for love and support and encouragement in the midst of struggle and adversity. Jesus is upheld by friends with love before he faces his suffering and death in Jerusalem. In the midst of this tension, this heightened emotion, Mary breaks open a jar of expensive perfume and anoints Jesus' feet. There is so much we could say about this scene. the fragrance filling the house, the scandal of her letting her hair loose and wiping his feet with it, the extravagance of it. But what I invite you to notice is that Mary doesn't say anything. Judas, however, says a lot with a few words, and our gospel writer, John, says even more with the words included in parentheses. It's Judas's words that brought to mind my Granny Hemmings' saying, "Least said, soonest mended." I wonder if Judas regretted these words, this criticism of Mary. I wonder how he felt at Jesus' rebuke to let her alone. I wonder how Mary felt hearing Judas' words and then hearing Jesus' response. I wonder if Judas realized that he didn't have the big picture of God's extravagant love and grace in mind when he spoke these hollow words about helping the poor. We'll never know, but he offers us an important reminder about the impact of our reactions and our words. He offers an important reminder about perspective. Jesus scolds Judas, saying, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." What does he mean? Jesus is praising Mary for her perceptiveness. Mary has realized that Jesus is going to die, and she wants to demonstrate care for him while he is still alive. She is showing her gratitude to him for raising Lazarus and more. Why does Jesus say this about the poor? We might wonder about this statement about the poor always being with us. That's not a very hopeful perspective, is it? Isn't God's vision, God's dream, for everyone to have what they need, for there not to be poverty? It is. Jesus is speaking here about generosity. These verses reference the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses speaks about the sabbatical year, when every 7 years debts are forgiven. Moses warns the Israelites to be just as generous in years 5 and 6, and not to use the sabbatical year as an excuse to look away, saying, "They'll get a break next year. They don't need my help right now." Jesus refers to this as a reminder about generosity and perspective. He calls Judas out because Judas isn't speaking out of generosity. Underneath his words of care for the poor, there is an attitude of judgment, of scarcity, of selfishness and self-righteousness. Even as we work toward God's dream of a just society where everyone is cared for, there will always be someone in need of our love and generosity. And Jesus says, "See this, do this." Jesus says, "Maintain a generous perspective. Err on the side of love and generosity in all you do." Think about this. This is not the first time we find Mary at Jesus' feet. Earlier in John's Gospel, we have the story of Mary at Jesus' feet listening, and Martha is frustrated, distracted by all she's doing as host. When Lazarus died, Mary went out to meet him and fell at his feet. And today, Mary is at Jesus' feet again, not speaking, but acting in love. Mary has listened more than she has spoken. And in a tension-filled time, with Jesus under increasing threat, with the threat of death looming, she chooses not to speak, but to enact tenderness and love extravagantly, abundantly. She chooses to show love toward Jesus with perfume that fills the house with its fragrance, perfume that will linger on his skin and in her hair. I wonder if Jesus could still smell that fragrance of perfume from the cross. Perhaps it reminded him, in the midst of his suffering, of the love that he had known in his friendship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. What was Mary seeing and feeling as she made this choice to break open that jar? It was love. What had she discerned in listening to Jesus, in watching him in the world? Mary had come to know a generous and loving God, a God who is more than we can ask or imagine, and this frees her to respond with abundant love and generosity. Her big picture, her view of God, of life, of the world, was one of generosity and tenderness and love. We are all invited into this view. This is our hope as followers of Jesus. Back to least said, soonest mended. This does not mean to keep silent in the face of injustice. It doesn't mean to keep silent in working for peace and healing and wholeness. It means to be attentive to when and how we speak, and to err on the side of love, always. When we find ourselves in a situation that feels outrageous, such as the one Judas found himself in, where he was baffled at the extravagance of Mary's gesture, least said, soonest mended reminds us to pause and choose our words with love and care, lest they create further division. It reminds us to take a step back and to look at the big picture. It reminds us that perhaps an action, such as Mary's action, would speak louder than words. We're on the cusp of Holy Week, when we face Jerusalem, when we face suffering and death with Jesus. Today we are reminded that Jesus faced that suffering and death, having had love lavished upon him by Mary. May we feel that same lavish love, love of God, love of friend and neighbor, here this morning in our worship, in our time together. May we go out into the world remembering least said, soonest mended, and remembering Mary's love for Jesus and her extravagant gesture of love. May we love and be loved generously in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.